come up with one and also tell me a good audio bed for it. You're trailblazing now. You're the trailblazer boy.
God. Oh, shit. Okay. What's another American staple? Sailor? No. Can't make it. They don't have a sound. Biker? Indian Chief? Definitely not.
I mean, Sailor you could do, and it could just be like a creaking boat and seagulls or whatever.
The Sailor is just basically a cowboy, but of the ocean. Like, they sound...
Or British. Or kind of...
No, just be saltier.
Just make it saltier. Pirate.
Be missing an eyeball and a leg.
Pirate is the way to do it.
Have at it. Here comes a beer. Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. Here comes a shot. Lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. This one's on me. Fix you for free. Drink the remedy. Forget about everything. This one's on me. Got what you need. And take your medicine.
Welcome to Brews Day Tuesday, episode 681. You're listening to my favorite landlubber, Tyler Dryblatt.
Oh, man.
Sorry, before we get into it, can I get you one time saying, are you ready, kids?
Yeah, I can do it. There's going to be two things I'll do. I'll do one bit that's that one. Are you ready, kids?
Aye, Captain!
And then there's... You best start believing in beer podcasts, Mrs. Turner. You're in one.
That's pretty good.
This is just the show. Yeah. We're just in the show.
The whole thing. That's what we're
doing. It's like really too bad how good that first movie is, considering
how
everything involved with it aged. But that movie is just so good.
People don't realize that ride was a D-tier ride at Disney World based on nothing other than pirates. Like, it wasn't from anything. The movie is from the ride. Like, kids today don't get it.
Yeah. Right. Like, also, the classic with the same acclaim, now I forget what it's called. Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion was the same shit, right? Wasn't that based on a ride?
Everybody loved Haunted Mansion. Yeah.
I'm sure 100%. Eddie Murphy did, because I bet he got paid a shitload of money for that dog shit.
Oh my god, dog shit movie. But they were like, of course it'll work again. The fucking Tower of Terror. They'll love this one. They love Pirates of the Caribbean. But they had to add all the women being like... All the animatronics are like talking about how they're liking being dragged off in the bar now.
We're consenting
those women. I remember being a kid being like, that's crazy. For like 12, like that last year when you're like too old to go to Disney World, that like the magic is gone, and I like suddenly start noticing all the lines and like all the parents all stressed out about money yelling at their kids, and you're like, it's kind of weird that they those pirates are ravishing those women.
Ravishing really makes it sound a lot like more romantic than it is.
That's true, yeah.
Like a ravishing Rick Rude?
Yeah, that's like something that like Max Miller, I feel like, would say, you know? Topical! What beer you have, Zach?
Well, I've got, from all the way from Belgium town, from Le Chouf Brewing. It's just called Blonde, without an E at the end, just... O-N-D, just loose on there.
Yeah.
What I like about this is it comes in an 11.2-ounce bottle, which I was like, of course they wouldn't, you know, hold to our standards, but it did piss me off a little bit after I got home. I was like, fucking rip me off, goddamn Belgians. It is 8% ABV, and it is brewed with coriander. And it poured out. Darker than I expected for a blonde, like a little bit of ruddiness to it, and it settled down into kind of a velvety head, but it had a pretty tall head of white bubbles on it when it first got poured out. Got that kind of like nice yeasty sort of bread dough smell. I need a little bit of a little bit of that twang on the end, a little funk. Very unshockingly, and I think we talked about this last time I was on, Belgian Blonde's just good. Just a good beer that I like having, especially when the weather is nice out. Like, not a winter beer to me, not something I associate with, like, cold and locking it in, but, like, summer chilling out time, like, this is about a top tier beer for me for just chilling outside.
The thing with those that I think like comes in clutch that people don't really consider is drinking them.
Yeah, how good they are. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's never occurred to anybody to drink them before.
Pro tip.
I have the Finn City Brewing Company's White Marlin Pale Ale, 5.6% ABV. A little bit darker than I would expect for a pale ale. Hmm. Like almost APA territory, maybe. Not definitely much of a head, really.
Territory. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I've just been drinking duck sauce and no water territory.
I get all my water in those packets from the
Oh, God. Not really much of a head, to be honest with you. It smells, I mean, there's some, it's like kind of dank, a little bit of dankness in there. Oh, that's, oh man, this takes me back. This is like a 2010s, like, pale ale or IPA, where it's just like, there's a lot of that just clean, hoppy burstness, you know? And it's just like, this is bitter, you guys. I don't mind it.
I miss that shit, man.
Yeah, I don't mind it. There's just not that much to say about the flavor, but it's just like, you remember when this was the style? And I do. Sam?
Yeah, actually, this is kind of perfect because this beer is your nickname. This is from Tribute Brewing Company, White Legs. It's a jalapeno wheat ale.
My legs 5.5%
ABV.
My foot's not. Can you see that? Can you see the line?
Oh yeah. Two different men. Two different men. One leg. Two different men.
All right, hold on. That. I was slamming print screen on my computer. Yeah. Sell those pics.
I have an IMDb
print screen
page,
and upload.
Not a wiki feet page, which is what I'm really aiming for.
Hey, this is a guy from that ghost show, right? Like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I've been told yes.
Yeah.
This is one of those beers where they made a beer and also there's hot peppers in it, and it doesn't feel like they put that much thought into those two factors. Like,
yeah.
I like a hot pepper beer, so like this is going to get an okay rating from me, but it does just feel like someone dumped hot sauce into a wheat ale.
Yeah, I hear you. That's too bad. But we have articles to do, so let's go with one that I think is too bad. So DenverGazette.com, Colorado brewery to release only Marm's beer to benefit marmot research. There is a gentleman out in Colorado, Daniel Blumstein. He runs the Marmot Project, which tries to protect marmots. They are a rodent species that typically lives in the mountains and are threatened by climate change. And his lab has no funding, so he's done a bunch of creative things, like creating an OnlyFans account that's marmot-based called Only Marms, and making a meme coin, starting Fat Marmot Week, and now this Only Marms beer that's also going to raise money for the lab.
So this kind of stuff makes me feel two things at the same time. And the first thing is sad about, you know, the state of, you know, conservation research and like what the lengths to which like scientists need to go to like secure funding.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I feel is, I think, impressed by the solutions that people figure out, like even for like Fat Bear Week and stuff, like the equivalent of like,
yeah,
hey, like let's get eyeballs on stuff. Like we want kind of like viral moments so that people care about this type of research and like what it's like practically doing, is smart and depressing. Like, so I feel both of those things. I think this is like a funny kind of like impressive angle to take for like something weirdly historical. Like I think the article said this is the second longest research about a specific species that's been going on, second only to Jane Goodall's chimp research. And it's like, that's crazy that this was the other one they wanted to do. And I'm like, this is why you need autistic people. Because no one else gives a fuck about this. You need somebody to care about marmots. Like,
that's right.
This is what you contribute as a species. Like, somebody being like, I bet I could make this train slightly better. And this other person being like, I care about marmots a whole lot. And you're like, great, perfect. We need all of you. We need all of us to work together.
That's true.
It's brought to mind for me the thing from Jurassic Park of Nature Finds a Way. This is like a meta level of Nature Finds a Way. Like, weirdos will find a way to help nature find a way.
Mm-hmm. Carol Baskin.
Yeah, except she fed her husband that tiger. Except 100 out of the 160 marmots died last year, so that's not great.
Woof.
Hey, glass half full. 60 marmots made it. You know?
That's right. I am curious exactly what the Only Marms account features. I assume it's like
marmots with titties.
Sure. I assume it's like cute pictures and maybe like, you know, breaking marmot news, but
breaking news. They're
I do hope it's just kind of this guy, Professor Blumstein, just like dressed up in a marmot suit fucking.
Isn't it Blumstein when you look at a marmot while you're on the toilet?
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That joke's for my sickos, for the podcast sickos. They know what's up.
Oh boy.
Hi, Tim.
Tim knows.
Yeah, I agree. I think you hit the nail on the head there, Zach. It's like, wow, it's pretty clever of him to monetize all these different streams, but also like all the marmots are dying and he has to use OnlyFans to get funded. That sucks. That's not great.
Tell me that marmots eat ticks and I'll help them. Lie to me. Lie to me about another species that doesn't eat ticks that we pretend eats ticks. And then maybe we'll help them more. Apparently it's only guinea fowl that eat ticks. Even chickens don't do it, which I learned today. Because I thought chickens ate them, but they don't, apparently.
Yeah,
chickens
need to go
to the ground where ticks aren't.
Right, they're questing. Did you know that
grass,
that's what it's called? It's called
that's
questing.
Bullshit. That's too cool. What they're actually doing is fucking up my life and making me allergic to red meat.
Correct. Sam, you don't know, obviously, but ticks, they stand on the edge of leaves and they wave their front arms around to, like, catch something, and it's called questing.
And it's like, they genuflect until someone just, like, walks past them and they hop a ride?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah, yeah, but, I'm glad, Zach, that you're aware of the truth about possums. That study is so poorly done. It's insane.
I thought they're just hideous animals.
The James R. Day of scientific studies. Is that something we can say? Is it too soon for that?
It's not a reference that I understand, if that helps.
Weirdly, somehow, it's not too soon for him, and it is still too soon for Charlie Kirk. So I think just like think about the differences there for prison.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, we got a shitload of ticks. I wish possums did eat ticks because they are all like, I look at some tall grass at work and I have a tick on me.
If I had a nickel for every tick I've picked off of one of my children, I would have 15 cents.
It's not a lot, but it's more than you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of ticks.
Yeah, I had a tick on the head of my penis one time.
Gotta take
no, her name is Becca, and I need you to treat her with some respect.
Nice. One time.
Yeah.
I keep telling you guys gotta get married. Sauce. Then finally she'll put out.
Right, right.
Just a tip for now.
That's right. Yeah, there was a guy where I worked who had a scrote tick as well.
It happens to the best of us, I've heard.
Yep. I guess so.
Well, not the best of us. It happens to some people. Not the best of us. The best of us are, you know, indoors.
It has nothing to do with being nasty. Although there is some research that shows that it might have something like they may be more likely to go for some people with different blood types than others, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. The Japanese were right all along.
They were right. It's the reason why we live, and it dictates our whole personality.
Yep. Well, what has your blood been making you do recently?
Oh man, just getting into huge fights. No, when instead what we did this past weekend was we had a get really high and watch a movie day. Nice. And I chose the perfect film, the new He-Man movie, which is now on streaming.
Was it as garbage as I've heard?
Holy fuck, it was bad. It's a rare movie in that it looks expensive. Like, it looks great, and it was dog shit. Yeah. So it was like, you're about to lose a lot of money on this movie. Because it looked incredible.
Jared Leto streak lives on?
100%. And the craziest part about it is, like, from, like, a budgetary perspective, Jared Leto is Skeletor. He's not physically Skeletor. It's a body double. It's a CGI face of a skull, so it's not his face either.
It's just voice acting?
It's just voice, and it's going through so many layers of things. It does not sound like him at all. Like, they could have hired anybody to be Skeletor, and instead they were like, this is how we're going to get people, and then all the bad press came out. You can tell during the 2 years it was in post-production, they were like, oh, fuck.
What do you mean all the bad? Everybody's known Jared Leto as a movie killer since, like, what, 2016?
I'm honestly like, does he have a genie or something? Like, why is anyone casting him in anything?
Truly. He must have signed, like, a six-movie deal after Fight Club. I don't know.
Yeah.
He was in Fight Club? Last...
Yeah, he's Angel Face.
Yeah.
No, he's Angel Face. The blonde guy, yeah.
But yeah,
that's
they,
like the last good movie he did.
They did that, and, like, yeah, so just from a budgetary perspective, it's a waste for him to even be in it, because nobody could have been Skeletor. They had, it was, like, what was amazing about it is, like, you could tell that, like, they did test screenings, and people were like, it's boring, and so they added a bunch of jokes to it that, like, tonally, it's all over the place. But it had, my favorite thing about this movie is, it tries to have moments of, like, emotional sincerity that it has not earned during the movie that just piss you off. So, like, Tyler, I actually think you'd enjoy watching it by just, like, yelling at it while you watch. I think you would find it cathartic. But, like, his dad, in the beginning of the movie, like, beats him up in front of all his friends and bullies for being weak. Because he's, like, a dumb little fuck as a kid. Sure. And they're like, dude, we have fucking Skeletors in the world. You can't be, like, a little fuckhead, because you need to be a warrior, because, like, that's the world we live in. And he's like, I just want a date. And they're like, knock it off, little schmuck. And so his dad beats him up in front of all his friends. And then, like, you know, the movie happens, and he ends up, like, getting raised on Earth for budgetary reasons. And then goes back to Eternia, and his dad is like, I never wanted you to be anything other than what you are. I was like, that's a lie. I watched the beginning of the movie. You wanted him explicitly to change who he was.
It kind of sounds exactly like Billy Elliot.
It was like Billy Elliot. I never said you shouldn't be in ballerina. It's like, yeah, you did explicitly. That was the whole conflict of the movie. I just wanted you to be happy, but doing what I wanted, not what you wanted. So they have shit
it feels like
that.
It must have gone through 10 rewrites, and on the last rewrite, no one, like, kept track to make sure that it still made sense.
100%. There's a scene, too, where they're like, the power of Grayskull is not just for violence. I'm like, excuse me, it's explicitly only for violence. It makes him beat guys up real good.
It makes him huge and have a huge sword and nothing else.
Yeah, that's it. And that's fucking it. And they try to do the power is inside you all along thing. I'm like, no, it's clearly in the sword. He didn't have any of the strength at all until he had this. It's so good. There's so many unearned moments. He doesn't learn any lessons. He just is given power that he wields completely irresponsibly, and everyone reacts as though he's, like, had this transformative moment. Like, very frustrating to watch. Very long. Like, over 2 hours long. With, dare I say, two after-credit scenes.
Oh, shit.
While we were watching, a friend of my life, Brian Gerber, said, we're the only people on Earth who have ever seen this after credit scene. And I think he was completely right. Like, 100% correct.
Are they trying to start up, like, a cinematic universe?
They were definitely sequel baiting. They sequel baited a hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is going to happen. Somebody tells me, I'm getting news that we're not getting a He-Man sequel. They missed the 80s wave after the first season of Stranger Things, too. Like, it came out way too late.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
There are people older than us, like, 8 to 10 years older than us, uh-huh, with a deep nostalgia for this. Yep, I wonder how they felt about it. Like, when I saw the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie, like, I nutted everywhere, even though I was 8 or something. I don't remember. Just like, this is what it was supposed to be all along. I've been telling you people, this shit's cool.
Well, I don't think... It sounds like this one was bad, though, which I think is the difference.
But, like, with your nostalgia goggles on, maybe it was okay? I don't know.
I don't know.
None of us can speak to that.
Did you guys see the fucking Ice Cube,
War of the Worlds? Movie, the War of the Worlds?
Yeah, yeah.
I've only seen media about it.
It is wild. I'm glad you called it the Amazon movie. It really is. Sam, have you seen anything about it?
I believe I heard an episode of the Flophouse, the podcast about bad movies, where they talked about it.
So it's the War of the Worlds, but like just looking at characters' screens.
Was it like a COVID production where like everyone was just in their own office? It must have been.
So you just watched like Ice Cube basically like click on different icons and like Zoom with different people.
I bet there was some PA who was just sweating. So no one strikes me as being worse with computers than Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Like, I bet he was like, yeah. What do you mean double click? What are you talking about? Click.
I'm sure click. Sure all of it was simulated. But like one part of the movie is his daughter's boyfriend is like an Amazon driver, and so he like saves the day by delivering all these like important parcels. Whoa. And stuff, and then they use like an Amazon drone to like do some shit. It's really horrible.
You were not evil.
Yeah, it was really something to watch. But just kind of thinking about like, you know, a big production with a lot of unearned moments, kind of a same feel.
Every moment in that movie is an unearned moment. No one.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, War of the Worlds was pretty intense. What if we just had people sitting down in chairs and that was the whole
thing? Yeah. 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 God. Do you guys see the Tom Cruise War of the Worlds where Dakota Fanning just screams for 2 hours? That's also a pretty bad...
The whole movie.
Is her
high-pitched screaming and then it going, wub, and then just blasting people into dust. It was the first
directing issue, though. Not a performance issue. I'm sure they said scream, and she screamed.
Well, War of the Worlds is just a terrible thing to adapt for the screen, because the whole thing is just, like, a guy hiding, and then they all die because of germs. Like, there's no real action. Like, the whole reason it's interesting is... Right. The whole reason it's interesting is to listen through the radio, like, as the updates come in. But there's no visual anything to it.
Mm-hmm. It was
You're right. It should be a video game instead.
Survival.
Hold R to crouch, and you do that for 30 hours, and then credits roll.
Hold R to scream. I feel like what you would need to do if you were to make it like a movie is the guy would have to like Independence Day the virus into something.
Right. Right.
Like, you gotta give somebody something to do, because you're right. It's a completely passive movie that happens the same way. If there was no protagonist whatsoever.
Yeah.
The same events happen as, like,
correct,
in the lore of the story. You just wait for them to get sick and die. But also, I'm sorry. They mastered interstellar travel, and it didn't occur to them that we have different bacteria than they do? Are you fucking kidding me? They're the dumbest
fucking idiots
of all time. Like,
it's the same problem with science.
Yeah. Oh, the whole planet's water.
They're allergic to water? I mean, I would say science is much worse in that regard.
We're water. Everything's water. Everything on our whole planet is water. It's like the surface, the people, the animals. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? It falls from the... It would be like us invading a planet where it's like, yes, fluoric acid rains from the sky, and the animals are made of fluoric acid, and the oceans are fluoric acid, and like, the air and the humidity. Also, it's bullshit they were walking around in Colombia or whatever, and they weren't just melting. It's human. They should be melting.
Yeah.
What is that? It's in the water. They're breathing it in. They're breathing it like vaporized water all day long. Yeah.
Well, I'm actually having dinner with M. Night next week, so I'll ask him if he thought that.
Ask him what the fuck he was doing about every movie he made after Unbreakable. What the fuck were you doing?
Do you guys remember the sci-fi like special Channel? That tried to make it seem... No, well, yeah. But it was on the Sci-Fi Channel. It was a special where they were like going behind the scenes of M. Night Shyamalan, but then it like... purports to reveal that he's actually a ghost the whole time.
No, that's awesome though. I actually like that.
Yeah, it was really funny. It was very, very amusing.
It's like a kayfabe, but without the wrestling.
Exactly. Yes, it was. It was something.
Do you think Haley Joel Osment is the goat child actor? Because I do. I think maybe there hasn't been a better child actor than him. He kind of carried Sixth Sense.
I'm gonna give it to Macaulay Culkin, I think.
Ooh, that's a strong contender. Mm. But he was like a comedy actor, which is easier than drama.
I mean, you didn't say the best dramatic actor.
I just think dramatic acting is better inherently, and I think
in terms of carrying a movie, he carried that movie. And like, I mean,
you're right.
Joe Pesci's so good in it, but like, he carried that movie.
You're right. He carries two of them. A franchise on his back. He's a franchise.
I don't know. I feel like the 45th and 47th President kind of carried the second one.
I think Pigeon Lady might have carried the second one. He's best friends with just like a homeless woman who's like a witch. It's like a magic witch.
What if he's helped by a woman covered in shit? Wouldn't that be cheery?
Kathy Bates is just covered in pigeons or whatever.
Was it Kathy Bates?
No, but it was a woman who reminds me of Kathy Bates.
Oh, okay.
It really reminds me of Susan Boyle every time.
The opera singer? The media and the Globe was like, what if ugly people could sing? That was like, if people weren't alive during from like 10, 2007, that's what it was like. We were just like, what do you mean ugly people are talented? Is that possible? And every 70s rock star was like, we're ugly. And you're like, oh, ugh. Ramones skulk out of like their salad fingers, like
I think it's specifically a woman is the thing, because like this is when we were just like Shakira and Britney Spears all the time.
Mm-hmm. We thought Britney Spears was fat when she was too fat to live or whatever, and she was just
when she was probably 135 pounds or some shit.
That's some crazy shit.
Just a smoke show, 25 like 4 year old, and everyone was just like, "Ugh, what?
Kill yourself?
Chubby.
You should kill yourself." Yeah,
you're maybe kill yourself. And everyone's like, "She's weird." I'm like, "You're talking to that Bayou Swamp girl who got raised in Hollywood? Who's weird? It's like Jungle to Jungle. It's like Tim Allen's Jungle."
Oh man. Well, you know, it's hard to watch a figure when you've got delicious ranch all over the place from brobible.com. A beer that tastes like ranch dressing is being served up at the Minnesota State Fair. Yummy. Dual Citizen Brewing Company in the Twin Cities. They've come out with an old ranch hand, which is described as, quote, a ranch dressing flavored cream ale blending smooth malt with hints of buttermilk herbs and spices. And it's served in a glass that features a savory ranch seasoned salt rim.
Wow. Which
I have to be honest. I think that's doing most of the flavor lifting. Mm. I think if you took that away, you'd be like, yeah, this tastes gross, but you wouldn't know that it's the grossness is ranch. You know what I mean?
It's just weird tasting.
Yeah.
I think you got to do a dill rim, right? Like, I feel like if you're going to do ranch, like, I feel like you got to just do dill only. Get yourself a hint of fresh dill. This is a great state fair beer though. Like respect what this is as like a novelty. Where like they're not thinking like they've done something like for like beverage history. They're not like, this is Roald Dahl's taint yeast, and you're like, great, fucking great.
Being good is secondary to being extra. And it's definitely extra, whether it's good is, you know, it probably not.
I'm guaranteed to be bad. I would bet money that this is not great. And if it is good, it's only because it doesn't taste like ranch. Like, a ranch beer is gross. It being a cream ale makes sense, but makes it grosser to me. Like, like, I feel like it would have to be a cream ale, but, like, I don't want that to exist. Like, it's the only way to make it taste like ranch, I think. But, like, you can put some lactose in there for, like, some sort of, like, density, like, some creaminess to it. I bet you could nitro this and really fuck everybody up. Like, really just make it awful. Like, make it really viscous. Like,
like a cherry bomb. Nitro.
Mm-hmm. Yes. 100%. This is dog shit. The Minnesota State Fair, though, is great because... This is perfect for a Midwest State Fair.
That's
true.
They've
got butter sculptures of all of the beauty pageant winners in Minnesota. I've been there. I've seen them. Guess what, ladies? Butter, not a flattering medium. You don't want a butter bust of yourself. There was one where she was in glasses in her own bust. I was like, you accepted those. She wouldn't more have like, been wearing glasses.
More like busted. In the
photo. Yeah, she was busted 100%.
I don't know. Sometimes glasses make it hotter.
Have you ever seen a butter sculpture and be like, yeah, I'd hit that?
1 out of 12. The batting average isn't good on the butter sculptures that I've seen at the Minnesota State Fair. The batting average is real bad. And those are all beauty queens, by the way. The 1 out of 12 is really bad when the pool of women is beauty pageant winners.
Yeah, but did you see, like, pictures of them? Like, are they just terrible in real life? Like,
you're right. You're right. I don't know if Minnesota's full of dogs. Like,
were all these winners, like, melting already before they turned into butter?
Maybe they were lumpy and a little slick naturally, and their hair was just sort of a big shape on their head. It was like a PS1 game. It was like, ugh. Was like,
oh, just a single texture for the whole hair?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So I respect how dog shit this probably is and the effort to make it. I find it impossible to believe the propaganda in here that so many people are stealing it to fly away. That the TSA is like, we got to make a special announcement that this beer counts for.
I think that was just ranch dressing broadly.
Yeah, just ranch.
Oh, just loose. That's gross. People are gross.
Well, these are Europeans coming back from the World Cup. No, it's.
What do you mean we can't have this? You're like, remember 9/11, you fucking idiots? You can't have this. Like, you can't fucking
have liquid. Honestly, it's just take a flavoring packet home. It's mayonnaise, buttermilk, and a flavoring packet. It's not complicated.
Take the powder home. Yeah.
I did fly recently, though, and I could keep my shoes on. So, you know, thanks, Obama.
Yeah, I guess, thank you, Obama. It pisses me off when, like, airports pretend like they all have the same rules and we're supposed to know. Yeah. It's like, dude, fuck you. I come in here every other time. You're telling me to take my shit and put it in a bin or not. Like,
don't get me started. Put my
laptop in a bin or not.
They're so fucking snide about it. Bitch, just put up a sign. Just put up a fucking sign so I know belt on, belt off, shoes on, shoes off. What's the deal?
Getting pre-check has changed my life. Getting the TSA pre-check has changed my life for the better. I have global entry, which is sick as hell. That one's great. Worth going in advance. You have to eat one international trip when you've qualified, but you don't have it, because on the way back, they'll like pull you aside and do it for you. They're like, hey, you should have qualified for global entry. Do you want to like finish it up today? That was way more convenient than driving like 2 hours to Chicago to finish the interview process or whatever.
And do they do like a like an FBI background check or something on you to do that?
They do a pretty gnarly background check on you.
Okay, never mind, never mind. Entry.
You're fine. I feel fine. You're fine.
Everybody really. What? Everybody really likes flying with me because I always like opt out of like the photos or like, you know, all the stuff, and it's always really fun. Downs? I do, yeah, I do. So everybody really always likes that.
I ask them if they like what they see after they do the full body scan. Like, you like that? You like what I got? I'll fluff before I get in there.
How?
I would.
Because you got your hand out of your pants in line? What are you doing?
Yeah, big time. That's not a crime.
Just wiggling around.
I'll just shake it. Simple force. Just
kind of
get it.
He wears silk boxer shorts to the airport with this in mind.
like, oh my God, sir, you're fly as hell.
I would take more like attitude from the TSA if they didn't fail 98% of their checks. Mm-hmm. Then maybe they could boss me around.
I've accidentally flown with a pocket knife once.
Yeah,
and I made it from one. I made it to one airport. One of them caught it, but like I made it completely through one set of TSA, and the second ones were like, "What the fuck?" And I was like, I agree. I've already flown. This is a connecting flight. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know. It's like being a Disney Channel adult. Like, it's one of those jobs where you can just suck ass all the time, you know? I would love, like, Disney adult, TSA agent, weatherman.
Weatherman. You don't have to be right at all. It's like baseball rules for weathermen. They're like,
you just have to have hard gray hair.
And a good name. Right. I think your name, Sam Champion.
Hard gray hair is pretty good.
Yeah, hard gray hair is pretty good.
Or something like Andrew Andrews. Like sometimes like the double names, like Robin Roberts or whatever, who was on
Storm
the
Thunderson.
Storm Thunderson. Or Sturm. You had to like an Sturm. Ooh-lot, like a storm.
Sturm Thunderson. Yeah.
Otherwise, it would be ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Preposterous. Yeah, Weatherman is a pretty chill gig. Because we never get mad at them, because they're just like the mouthpiece. They're not like the meteorologists making the predictions. They're not making the models. Like, for the news.
They are the models.
They are, yeah. I like how Mexico does it, where it's just a smoking hot woman telling you the weather. It's not.
Why shouldn't it be?
Why shouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Exactly. Doing it. It could be anybody. They're just explaining what the other people said.
As long as they can fucking read, like, what's the. Who cares?
Right. It's like, yeah, put a lady in a bikini telling me the weather. That's fine. If it's hot out, that makes sense to me. If it's cold out, that's where you lose me. She's got to be in, like, a parka. Oh, I had an amazing joke over text to enemy of the show, Brian Smith, and he did not react enough to what I said, so I'm going to say it here louder.
Okay. All right.
So he texted me about a place I lived. It was like, hey, was this the address of a shitty place you used to live? And I was like, oh, yeah, that was my old shithole. That was my shitty apartment before I dated a woman and I could live in just a dog shit apartment. He was like, oh, a guy I know at this party used to live in the same apartment that you lived in. I went, oh, we're Igloo Brothers. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I'm like, Igloo Brothers? Come on.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like it.
Eskimo Brothers before you live? It's perfect.
It's pretty good.
I think probably his reaction was appropriate.
I disagree with you completely. I've never been more upset with you. I think if you've met an Igloo Brother even once, you would be excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, alright.
Hate.
Sam, you haven't been meeting Igloo Brothers, but presumably you've been up to something.
Yeah, so, you know, usually I've been doing, reading through that book, piece by piece. Also, I actually went downtown for the first time in a really long time.
Oh yeah!
To do something interesting.
In downtown Madison?
Yes.
How'd that go? Because I hear they're shooting people like once a week down there.
Once every 4 to 5 years, it turns out.
No. Like, wasn't there like a bunch of cop-involved shootings in Madison recently?
Just one.
Just one.
And also.
I'm gonna sound Republican. A bunch of homeless people pretended to protest, but just sort of camped out on the place that they are always camped out, and they presented it like a protest. And I'm like, those guys are just plumbing it. They're just hanging out. Like, they're not really trying to affect any change.
They're trying to get some change. Am I right?
Yes, you are right. You are right.
All right. Okay. I'm sorry. Damn. So you went downtown.
I was listing all the things I'm not going to talk more about.
Okay.
The book, I went downtown, I went to a bourbon bar and had an old-fashioned flight. I could talk about any of that, but that's not what the listener wants. And I'm not here to hang out with my friends. I'm here to entertain the listener. What the listener wants is for me to...
It sounds like you're eating a Crunch Bar.
Yeah.
It's getting a bunch for of me crackers. To eat into a microphone.
No. Oh, those are Cheez-Its. I recognize the box.
Are these beer-flavored Cheez-Its? Yeah!
Oh, Coors Light beer cheese Cheez-Its. Limited time. Wow. Thank God we got these.
I don't think these are going to taste like Coors Light at all.
They taste like beer cheese, which just tastes like cheese, it turns out.
Exactly. I could not differentiate beer cheese and other cheese.
It's like, what if nacho cheese wasn't spicy? And I'm like, I think melted cheese might just taste like beer cheese.
I wish I hadn't known what they were supposed to be. Because I think if someone had given these to me, I'm like, what flavor of Cheez-It is this? I would say, extra salty Cheez-It? But I guess beer cheese is pretty salty. But there's no beer in this at all. There's, like, less cheese than usual in it, and it's pretty salty. I'm going to eat all of them, because I like salt. But,
yeah.
Anyway, these are a real disappointment.
What? So, I know you said you didn't want to discuss this, so feel free to just reject this proposition entirely. Explain to me this old-fashioned flight. Where was this, and how does one procure an old-fashioned flight?
So, my favorite coffee place in town, and by in town I mean Verona specifically, was called Hodgepodge. They closed like a year ago and are now a bourbon bar. And I went for the first time since its transformation. And, like, the main thing they do is, like, they'll make any drink, but they want you to drink Old Fashions because, you know, Wisconsin. So
make them famously without bourbon here.
Sometimes. You can get a brandy Old Fashioned, you get a bourbon Old Fashioned. But they have flights, which is just, like, different additives, I guess. So mine was a classic, chocolate cherry, maple, and citrus.
Okay.
Were the four Old Fashions I got. I thought the chocolate cherry was going to be gross. It ended up my favorite.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. It reminds me of that place I went in Vegas called Flights, where everything was served in a flight.
I mean, flights are just a great idea. The issue is that they're fiddly, so I understand why most places don't want to deal with them.
Right.
A lot of work for flight. How did you feel about being in a place that you previously loved as a different business? Because there's a cocktail bar in Madison that is in the corpse of my favorite dive bar. And whenever
Lats is there, closed?
Yes, it is closed. And it's a fancy cocktail bar now called Cordial. And they try to keep the spirit of it. There's still pull tabs in there, whatever. But I walk in there and I feel like I'm at a funeral for the bar that I loved every time I go in. And it makes me a little sad, even if I can acknowledge that, like, it's clearly a nicer bar. Like, it's clearly nicer. But that wasn't what I loved about it. I loved how shitty it was. And the way that it was shitty, I loved specifically. So I always feel a little sad going into that establishment when it's not what I loved about it. So how did you feel going into your favorite coffee place and it being a bourbon bar?
The main thing was, like, why is it so fucking dark in here? Like, I know it can be bright in here, because it's been bright in here, but you guys made it dark on purpose, and that's weird for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One time, Beck and I went out to a bar with somebody that we, like, only kind of vaguely knew from work, and, like, it got kind of busy, and then we left, and she was like, sorry, I didn't know it would get so dark in there. And we were like, what? And then realized she was talking about, black people, and then we never hung out with her again.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Who says that?
It was really something.
To be clear, that's not what I'm talking about.
I know.
No, that was, I'm pretty sure that's what you were screaming about, right?
That's when they asked you to leave.
Board. That's what you're looking for, school board. Bombs for Liberty give you all that money, and now you won't stop talking about it.
Oh, so now I'm just, like, trying to get in the mind of this friend.
Not a friend.
You, I bet. No, yeah, not a friend. Associate. You're close.
More of a kind of more like a family at this point.
New,
like Vin Diesel, like a family. You know,
this was like 7 years ago at this point. By the way,
just like, was she thinking, I bet they're racist, too. Let me test these waters.
I guess.
She felt a kindred spirit. She felt you out, and she felt like at the end of the evening, she could really let it fly, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what does that say about you? That you seem like you might be racist.
That's what I was trying to avoid, is getting into that introspection. Yeah, exactly.
Incredible. But yeah,
it was really something.
Going to a funeral in your old establishments, your old haunts, is that's the worst part about growing up. There's businesses that I love are now new businesses, and I don't like them as much, even if I can acknowledge they're better for the community.
That's true. It's like there was a Friendly, specifically Friendly, not a Friendly's, because my town had this thing about franchises. So it was a Friendly restaurant. And now it's like, we used to go there all the time. We used to get ice cream there all the time. Now it's like a pizza place, and it is kind of sad. You're right.
Mm-hmm. I met a funeral for the Rustic. Even though the Rustic was dog shit, it was a horrible bar. It was like super bright in there. It was really, really bright. It was a dive bar. It was wood paneling everywhere, but it was like very bright. There was always somebody in a Packers fleece trying to talk to you, even though they were enamored. They never cut anyone off, which I really liked. And a drink was $3.50, and a double was $5. And
it's pretty good.
You could pay with the pull tab. So if you won $5 at pull tabs, you could just pay for a drink with the pull tab, and they would let you have it. And there was once a time where we were there, and this guy was getting, he was too drunk to walk and like needed to go to the bathroom. So the bartender and owner carried him over his shoulder like a wounded veteran and carried him to the bathroom. And then when the guy came out, he carried him back to the bar, and then he gave Jesus him another Christ. Drink afterwards. He served him more afterwards.
He works at that nursing home we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, 100%. 100% he does. But, like, it was open because there's a hospital right next to it. So for, like, third shifters, it was open at, like, 7 a.m. Like, it would open. And you could go there anytime. It was the best. It was so cheap. You could get a whiskey and squirt, which is a drink that I had there for the first time and is now my favorite shitty bar drink of all time. Whiskey squirt, $3.50. We drank there all day and spent like $40. It was incredible. I love that place. Which means they didn't charge us for some, because we definitely had more than a drink an hour. Like, he was like, fuck it, we'll call it $40. I wasn't paying attention. I was like, dude, you gotta run a business. Like, you gotta actually charge me for this stuff.
And well, that's why they went under, I guess.
For sure. But I miss you, Jim, and I miss that bar, and it was a beautiful place. And we need more shitty places. I don't want third spaces. I want shitty spaces. I want spaces where like you could just be gross and like the worst fucking version of yourself, and it's fine. It doesn't matter, no one cares. Whatever. I don't think people are like third spaces are gone, because they're not gone. We just don't like them.
Yeah,
they're
have to wander down the railroad tracks, Zach, and you'll find exactly what I'm talking about.
We still have an Elks Lodge. It just sucks, and no one wants to go there. We have bowling alleys. They're just weird. Like, it's like the third spaces are there. They're just weird. And like in the 50s, they weren't that weird. And you could just be like, I got to get the fuck away from my wife. I'm going to join the Freemasons. And you would just join the Freemasons and hang out with a bunch of dudes, and they would just, like, I don't know.
Hold on, let me write this down.
Yeah, get Freemasons.
The drunkest I ever got was at a bowling alley. But
hell yeah. Everyone can say that. There's a whole generation of men that say the exact same thing. And that's
true.
What their faces were.
They would go, but they're all 40 years older than me.
I know they are. They're like, fuck yeah, you just go get drunk at the bowling alley, and you go home, and your wife yells at you, but you don't care because you're drunk.
That's true. We got one more article to do. FoodRepublic.com. This was, it says it was written by Nikita Efanov, but that's definitely AI, because this article sucks. But it's the country that exports the most beer in the world. Have you read it yet?
It's Mexico.
No.
It is, well, yeah, it's Mexico. Belgium's number two. That's about it. That's about all we got from this article. But,
Modelo, that's what I'm talking about. It's the same beer, but in different bottles. Like, Modelo, Dos Equis, Corona, and, like, all of the other ones, all the same. Every Mexican lager is the same beer, and there's probably 19 of them that are for sale.
Pacifico.
And Tecate is the cheapest, which makes it the best.
Tecate is the best. It is the best.
Pacifico,
one.
Sol, Victoria. Like, there's so many. I mean, even if you got Mosa, I mean, I think eventually you get into Central America, but there's like
Bud Light Chelada.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many of them, and they're all the same beer, except for somehow Corona's the worst one. None of them are worse than Corona. It's been clear bottle.
Clear bottle, dude. Clear bottle.
It's a Heineken problem. It's a Heineken problem. Yeah. Like, 100%.
It's immediately skunked. But
you skunk it right away. You got to dump a lime into it, which no other beer requires.
It makes me so mad.
The third Corona, though, is so good. There's no beer better than the third Corona that you're having. That's what Vin Diesel has taught me.
I don't think I ever made it to number three.
You should do an episode where you have a third Corona. You have two Coronas before the show starts.
Pre-show,
And then you're doing the third. You should rank each one. Because the first Corona is terrible. It's like a 3.5 out of 10. It's skunked immediately. It tastes terrible. And you have to crunch a bunch of citrus into it to make it palatable, which normal beer has, because hops taste like that.
Right.
Like a normal beer has that level of body to it. And then the third one, though. Oh, that's what we're talking about. Mamma mia. A third Corona? Like, get me Ludacris and Tyrese, because we're family. We're family right now.
Maybe for $7.50. Tyler will do three Coronas, and I'll build one of those helmets from cartoons with where you rack them in and you drink them with straws, and I'll do three Tecates, and we'll rate those.
Well, Tecate is just good. Tecate is just good by itself.
I know. I just want to drink three Tecates. Shut up.
Everyone just a third beer, whatever they want. I'll third gold the monkey, and I'll get in a huge fight with my mom.
Yeah.
If I'm like about to have a third gold monkey, I'm just like, I'm going to put in the sick leave for tomorrow ahead of time, I think.
100%. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta just get sick of people's shit, and then you take a sick day from work. You're like, you know what? I'm sick of you guys, and I need this day to be hungover on a Monday.
Yeah, brother.
And they can't legally ask why I'm sick, and I'm like, well, probably the eighth Tecate is what got me.
Probably because I'm sick of your shit. I guess we gotta wrap this up, right? We're pretty much done here.
Yep.
Okay. Zach?
I had slightly less than 12 ounces of Le Chouf Brewing. They're from Belgium, I'm being told. It was a blonde, and that was all I got about it. 8% ABV. Delightful. A strong blonde. Guess what? Belgian blonde was delightful. Shocker of the year. Shocker of the year. This beer was fantastic. I'm going to give it a 7.5. I recommend this to anybody who likes to have a good time. I think unless you're averse to the slight kind of sour tang of a blonde, if that bothers you, you're going to hate this because it tastes just like that. But otherwise, drink this. This is fantastic. If it's summer where you live, whatever hemisphere you're residing in, this is what you want. This is what it's all about. 8%. You can have three of these. You can fight your mom or your dad if they're still alive. You can get into that.
You little fuck!
And they have a Bongino on the front. I'm gonna put this under the camera.
Oh, that's a Bongino. Imagining.
This is kind of what a Bongino. That's a Bongino. They were bearded, but a clean shave. This guy, that's a Bongino. To me.
It's totally fantastic. Inscrutable to the listener that, like, that D8 Lef comes out 2.5 years from now.
15 months from now, you'll know what we're talking about. But a little Bongino on the front, little wooden shoes, patched up purple pants and a green shirt, beard, conical red hat. We're loving it. Le Chouf, 7.5, easy breezy.
Which, as we all know, means the Chouf.
Yeah, Belgian for the Chouf.
We've definitely had Le Chouf on the show before, and I was trying to find it in the spreadsheet, and I think I'm spelling Chouf wrong, because I couldn't find it.
The official spelling here, C-H-O-U-F-F-E.
I gave their triple IPA? But it's spelled triple like triple, not triple like triple. That I gave it a 6.1. Weird. But that was year one of the show.
Huh.
Wow.
Oh, that was episode 50 where we did two beers. So that was my first of two beers on episode 50. I forgot we did that.
That's funny.
We should have a revisit episode where you guys drink something from like the first season when you guys were like in college to see how your palates have changed. And just
We did a thing in college called Against Day Wednesday where we retried Brews Day Tuesday beers. I think we should just do like an Against Day month at some point.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I love that.
I had the Finn City Brewing Company's White Marlin Pale Ale, 5.6% ABV. And it just really brought me back to another age, a forgotten time in beer brewing, where the goal was just to make things hoppy. It's very, very kind of like fresh, almost piney burst of hops at the front and not much else to it. But It just really reminded me of another time, and I enjoyed that. So I'm going to give it a 6.3 and recommend it to all the real IBU heads out there. You know, it's not like it's incredibly bitter, but the focus is just on kind of the bitterness. So, Samuel.
Yeah, man, I want that. Like, I don't want that all the time, but I...
Right.
It used to be most IPAs, and now it's hard to find, and I miss being able to get my hands on those easily.
For sure.
I had Tribute's White Legs Jalapeno Wheat Ale. The spiciness is, like, almost gone. Like, I feel like most of the time with hot pepper beers, it, like, builds gradually over time, but this one has somehow faded over time, where, like, I get, like, jalapeno has its own flavor on top of heat, And sure. I'm really tasting that pepper. Like, it's not like just capsaicin extract or a different pepper. This is jalapeno. I can taste that it's jalapeno. And I like the flavor of jalapeno. But if you're going to give me a hot pepper beer, give me a hot pepper beer. Quit being a little bitch about it.
You got like a bell pepper beer.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, it's spicier than a bell pepper beer, but yes. Yeah, kind of. But also, like, I love the style so much, and I want there to be more of it. So in the same way as, like, my minimum for a Rausch beer is probably 8 out of 10, my minimum for a hot pepper beer is probably a 6.5, so I'm going to give this a 6.5 and say, if you want an intro-level hot pepper beer, I think this works for you.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds good. Do you know what you're drinking next week?
I have so many goddamn sours in my fridge. And I like to save them for Jed and Mary. But at some point, I got to start drinking these fucking things to get them out of my house. So I think I'm probably going to have something sour next week.
Something sour. All right. We'll look forward to that. Zach, thanks for coming around. I know we just had you on, so I hope we're not wearing you out.
This is great. This feels good. It makes me feel like I'm in demand.
Good. All right. Well, listener, if you want to tell us your favorite third place to get sloppy, you can email us at brewsdaytuesdaypodcast@gmail.com. You can comment on links at brewsdaytuesdaypodcast.com, or you can blue sky us at brewsdaytuesday. Don't let us keep it down. We'll see you next episode. Goodbye.
Bye. Here comes a beer, catch all your tears, drink the remedy, forget about your problems. Here comes a shot, lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy, forget about your problem. This one's on me, fix you for free. Drink the remedy, forget about everything. This one's on me, got what you need. And take your medicine, you feel better. I'm curious, he's coming to town in a month, and he
what?
He's gonna hang out. But there's a chance that I wasn't supposed to tell you that.
Oh, does he not want to hang out with me? Best
I don't know. I think probably he wants some kids for his kid to hang out with, and he knows that
bringing,
I got them in
everybody.
Spades.
They're bringing everybody. All right.
Yeah. The whole crew's coming out. So I think he wants to throw some kids at his kid, and I got them.
That makes sense. Yeah, you can just throw waves of kids at that kid. Like,
yeah, if one of them gets tired, you know, put them on the bench. Throw another one in. We got a 3-on-1. I'm not worried about it. We're gonna dominate.
Sam, you're really thinking about your rotation, huh?
Hey, bringing it back to, I forget if we're recording at that point or not.
Yeah.